Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, it's Colson, and I have a little message for you because on Saturday night, myself, Jack, and Ben were live on stage in Manchester for the first ever time as On the Sofa, and we had an absolute ball. We played to a full house, and we talked all about the film, The Truman Show. It was bring your own booze. There was plenty of tin cans being opened all the way through the show, and we had such a good time that we felt if you weren't there, you were missing out. So we've decided to work super hard and give you the episode from Saturday night today. So this is part one of On the Sofa, live in Manchester.
Test, 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 test. Okay, so you can hear us, yeah? But they can't hear us outside now, can they?
No.
Fucking busy out there, lads. You know that bring your own booze? Bad idea.
Yeah, they actually listen.
I know,
to
but I made a bit of money there, you know. I bought a load of booze and I've been selling it outside and it's going to be electric tonight.
My mum's just texted me. She said they're fighting.
Oh.
Do my pants look big in this?
No, they look fine.
Where's your white suit?
I can't believe you're wearing a suit.
When I go on and you get the lights come on, it looks white. I don't think we're going to make the stage. I think they're going to rip our clothes off.
Hang on. I think they're ready.
They're ready.
I think they are.
Right. What do I say again?
A 1, 2, 3.
Dope for Cinema Club. No.
Come on. Okay. And it's not, hello, welcome back to the Colson Smith Show.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Have a good show, boys.
Whoa. Hey! Yeah.
You bought these stairs.
Oh, they beat me. He beat me. He beat me. Where's he gone? Where's he gone?
Hello, Manchester!
You all right?
Yeah, I wore the wrong shoes for a big stair entrance. I wore my little loafers, and I was like, ooh.
Even in the rehearsals, Jackie P beat me down. Yeah. Manchester, we're on the sofa, and tonight we're live!
Oh, wow.
T-shirts! Yes.
Very wow. Good. Yes. You made
that,
them yourself.
That is impressive. Have you got one for us?
Love you guys.
So tonight, Manchester, we are on the sofa, and this is our first ever live show of On the Sofa.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the cheeky rebrand. Snuck that in. In old Sofa Cinema Club, we used to introduce ourselves, but now I introduce the boys, and it's caused a little bit of friction around the live show. So for tonight, we're going to bring it back to old times. So are we ready? Remember, this episode is recorded for audio use as well, so it is going to go out as an episode. So please do get involved. Ready?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome back to On The Sofa Live. I'm Colson Smith, and as always, I'm joined by...
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ben Price.
Number one.
Nothing for you.
Right. Let's take a seat and get tonight's show started, shall we? Like I said, it's our first ever live show of On The Sofa, but technically, this is our fourth live show. So now, we're kind of seasoned veterans at this, aren't we?
I wouldn't say we're veterans at it. No, we still make it up as we go along, don't we?
Yeah, but you're excited for tonight?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and you're excited to christen On The Sofa. It's not Sofa Cinema Club anymore, it's new. It's our first show.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a night.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah,
thanks,
really.
Everyone. thanks for coming. And thanks for queuing.
Queue, yeah. Oh,
yeah. They said to us there was a massive queue. We're like, oh, I don't know. And then Jack got a video from
yeah,
his mum.
Yeah, but you did do...
Where's your mum?
And on the video, his mum going, why are they queuing? Why are we queuing? It's not worth queuing for.
I'm not fucking queuing.
It's not worth queuing for. But here we are.
Save some seats. Save some seats.
She actually did. So Jack had to go out.
He wrote the save some seats out 5 minutes before you came in. So there we go. I had to say it. Embarrassing.
Tonight's show is just going to be like the podcast that you all listen to at home. Hopefully you guys have learned to love it and it's going to follow a very similar theme. So we start off the show by talking about what we have been up to this week. But today, it's more specifically what we've been up to today.
It is for you.
It is for me.
It is for you.
It is for me. I have had quite the day. Now the big news, the elephant in the room, I've not told these two yet. But my mood on a weekend is dependent on one thing. And you'll be very glad to know that Castleford beat Driffield. Yes.
Come on, Cats. I can't believe they're cheering for that. Yeah. It's the most boring game in the world. And every week he comes, oh, it's a very close match. Right? It's very close match. And every week me and Jack, because you might not see this, me and Jack. Oh. Like, he goes, no, it was amazing. We scored something. Mm. Someone caught it.
It's been an absolute roller coaster game today. As I thought we were losing, I was in a mood, and then it came off, and we've wiped the floor with them. We have, but that's not the big thing. Okay, the big thing is I don't know if you've noticed I have a slightly red face, redder than usual, and there is a tale about this red face because this morning at 11 a.m. I set off to Yorkshire for my brother-in-law's stag do. The Otley Run. Is there anyone here who's done the Otley Run? Yeah. Yes.
What is the Otley Run? Just fill us in.
It's a massive pub crawl.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In a sense. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bit like having a massive Google.
That is all it is. It is a huge pub crawl in the middle of Leeds. You start on Otley Road and you end up in the centre of town. It's like 18 pubs, yeah? But the big thing is, you do it in fancy dress, okay? I'm not a massive fan of fancy dress, but I...
Is there anyone who's a fan of fancy dress? Mm.
I like fancy dress.
We know you like fancy dress.
Oh, you do?
I do,
you
yeah.
You do like fancy dress.
I do. There's always a story in it behind it, like you go, oh, who have you come as, or whatever. You know, I like all that.
So if it was your stag do, and we're doing the Otley Run, what would you pick as your fancy dress theme?
You usually see like people dressed as hot dogs, don't you? Ninja Turtles,
seagulls and a chip, that kind
Harry
of thing.
Harry Potter, you see a lot of them. I always drive past them, and all year round they do this. It's not like just at Christmas.
It's not fair weather.
No.
All the time we're getting pissed.
Our theme.
All year round we get pissed.
Our theme was 90s footballers, yeah?
Okay.
It's hard, okay? And obviously, when you're doing fancy dress, one, you're thinking, I don't want to cringe too much, or I don't want it to be too out there. And two, I'm thinking, how am I going to get recognised less? Yeah?
Mm.
So I think I came up with a cunning plan. But this plan caused some problems, because when I ordered this, I thought I was getting a wig. Yeah? Because I've been on footballerswigs.com, which is an actual website. And I ordered...
Never.
Footballers.com.
There was no Conrad Gates. Gutted. I ordered Terry Butcher's bandage. Yeah. And I thought, brilliant, easy, piece of piece. What turned up? A bandage and a tube of fake blood. I paid £17 for a bandage and a tube of fake blood.
What else was it going to be?
What were you expecting?
I was expecting a full-on bandage wig made like a one-piece. As in straight on and off.
Did you get the England kit and the shin pads and all that?
We'll find out. I think we've got a little picture of me in fancy dress this morning.
Have you?
There I am. There he is.
Oh, that
it
is
looks
awful.
Like you, it looks like you've done an episode of Casualty and that's on your CV.
That's me, Terry Butcher.
That looks shit.
That looks shit.
No, it's not. On his way to the Otley Run. Now, the big thing about the Otley Run was, obviously, there was about 30 people and they were all footballers. And obviously, a lot of them were farmers, okay? So they don't know what football is.
There were
some interesting outfits. We had a Robbie Fowler. We had a Ronaldo, and this lad had genuinely...
Oh, he'd done the shave.
He'd shaved his head for an out. Like, the dedication was... And I just rocked him in a black T-shirt with a bandage on.
You had the T-shirt?
That's an England top.
Well, it isn't, is it?
Look at the England badge.
Oh, that's a cop-out.
It's got an England badge on.
No.
Can you please clarify, Ben, that has an England badge?
I tell you what, you have stretched that there.
Yeah.
You have stretched that. I'm right close.
Free Lions. It's understated. It's cool and classy.
He's cocked out. Joe.
Speaking
He's
of cool out. And classy, shall we see what my future brother-in-law was dressed as? Let's have a look. There we are. On the streets of Headingley.
What
loving
he?
Life.
What's he?
He was in a wedding dress. Apparently that's what you have to do on a stag do.
Why has he got the shag pile rug like on his thing? What's that? What's that?
He said he got it from a charity
That's
shop for a tenner.
You're dressed with a bandage on your head.
Yes.
And he's dressed as a bride.
Yes. Oh. Then there was 30 of them. It was utter carnage, yeah? And all I'm thinking is, I need to get back. We've got rehearsals at 5 p.m. Yeah, that's all I'm thinking is, got to get back, away from the stag do, back to here. So when I do back door,
he just looks like he's been run over. Done it.
Right, the dirty looks I got on the M62, by the way, driving over.
He looks like he's cut his hair. Yeah. And his mum's got the bandages out the back of the cupboard and go, no, you're fine. I kept wrapping it. I haven't got any tape. You'll just have to chuck it in.
Massive.
On the way over, yeah? I got into like...
Look at the lad behind you.
Oh, yeah.
He's saying to himself, what the fuck is going on?
Why is Craig Singer
wearing a bandage? What the fuck am I witnessing here? It's the lad from Casualty and a man who's dressed as a bride.
I'm outside the shop. At one point on the M62, yeah, I got in standstill traffic and I'm just there singing along in the car, bandage on. And I just look.
You still had your bandage on.
This is driving over. I look, and the girl in the passenger seat of the car across from me was staring gormlessly, going, "What the fuck's he done to his head?" And I didn't know what
it's
to
do. It's Craig. Is your head all right?
I didn't know what to do. So when I caught eyes with her, I just looked at her and went, like I was on my way to A&E. Because I panicked.
Are you driving?
Yeah. Yeah. Fully. Fully panicked, yeah?
What the fuck are you doing?
Me head. Will you let me in?
I got a stone from the... Stone! Careful! I'm a...
Now, the really worrying thing for me was when I did finally backdoor it and I got back to my car... Mm. I thought, right, let's whip the bandage off. Let's not drive home in this. When I whipped the bandage off, this is what I was left with. And when I turned up for rehearsals, apparently there's still some on the back of my head
there
that
is.
I'm not quite...
You see there? You see?
And my face is so red because I've just been scrubbing for hours. Mm. Literally, I've been in the sink scrubbing away. But yeah, so that
look how it got your ear.
I know. That's where the injury was. I reckon. Caught a boom.
I reckon.
Caught a boom.
But you should know when you go to A&E.
But obviously, that was my fancy dress, and I'm not a massive fancy dress fan. But the three of us are actors, so really we should like fancy dress, shouldn't we? And I actually found out that my co-hosts do like fancy dress. Ben.
No fucking way. No fucking way. I don't know what this is. I've never been in fancy dress. This is going to be embarrassing or you wouldn't have said it.
Ben, please could you tell me when, what, and what is going on in this here? It's very zoomed in.
It doesn't look that bad. What's that?
To be fair,
it's bigger hair.
It's zoomed in so you can't see the outfit. This is Ben, Jack, in the bill.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
He did the bill.
Yeah. He did Casualty, I did the bill. Can you imagine if you turned up and someone said, what have you come as? Someone from the bill. But you're not a copper.
Is he a copper?
No, I don't think I was. I think I was an estate agent. And I was showing someone round, stay with me. I can see the audience like, fucking hell. And I was showing someone round, I opened the door and I said, yes, it's a two-bedroom flat, dead body. Then the rest of the episode was me going, I don't know, I'd only just shown them in. What you do when you're an actor. I think I've got away with that, I'm fine. There could have been many you picked. There could have been way worse, I'm fine.
I'd be nice to you.
Why is your hair, like,
curly?
It's the way I was born.
Is that it?
Do you think I curled it for the bill? Do you think I went into the audition and went, no, they only have curly haired people on the bill. I'm going to curl it. You watch, I'll get it. And then I practiced with my wife doing dead body. No, too much. No, you walk in, shock. Mm. I know that was my hair back in the day.
So you think you've got away lightly there, yeah?
Yeah.
Jackie definitely. P, on the other hand, you go big on fancy dress.
Yeah,
really. There could be a few here.
There could be a lot. Now, producer Henry has picked this out as he thinks this is your ultimate fancy dress.
Oh, really?
Ever. Yeah. Let's take a look at this. Do you want to give us some context to what this is, Jack?
Yeah.
It's a Tuesday night.
That's the London show.
It's an easy Tuesday night. It's a Tuesday night, it's a curry and maybe a little game of Connect Four.
Yeah.
Look at the wine.
That was for a leave-in video for a producer at Corrie for Kate Oates. So I dressed up like Kate Oates, the producer, and was wandering around ITV pretending to be a... and I think it's like a half an hour sketch.
It's long.
It's a long thing. And it was real wine. And we filmed it all day and I was leathered.
That's the least of our worries there.
By the end of it, I was leathered.
It's real wine, wow. Yeah. It's the legs.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those.
Me and Tim Royal, director at work, we filmed it with me and other members of the cast.
So it's a wig, it's full makeup.
Yeah.
You've darkened your beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got fishnets on.
Yeah. Well, she was actually in the building as well while I was filming it, so I kept on having to...
Did she know you were doing
no,
it?
No, she didn't.
So it's a secret.
It's a secret.
And the dress was from, if we're doing a full Instagram, the dress was from...
Oh, I don't know.
Tag in.
I don't know.
Hashtag ad.
Costumes. Got it all from costume, I think.
You look good.
Did you look
good as a woman?
Yeah.
So yeah. Ben was in the bill, dressed up as a woman. Luckily, there's nothing embarrassing of me, is there?
No. Yes! Yes, there is. Yes.
Who can forget?
Cast your minds back a couple of weeks ago. We've all seen it. We've all seen it.
I made a good girl.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We've got a group chat on WhatsApp. And on WhatsApp, you can take a picture and you can have it as a sticker. Whenever Coulson says anything, it's a bit stupid or something off, I just put that in as a sticker. Apple, talk to us.
Pink Lady.
Yes.
Caused all my problems in life.
Is that before or after you got upset?
This is after.
That's after.
This is after. This is home run. The Pink Lady was the pick-me-up, but then we failed the food task because I ate that Pink Lady. Little did I know then what was going through my mind.
What you do is wear it well.
Heavy wig.
Yeah, you got the heavy wig. You say
heavy wig. Like my neck still walk around every now and then. I'm still a bit like that. It was 10 kilogram that wig. 10 kilogram.
No, it couldn't have been.
It was.
It couldn't have been.
That's like 10 bags of sugar.
No, it couldn't have been.
Right, I'll ask him and you can get it.
It
was proper heavy. Jackie P.
Oh.
Live shows. Feet up. Relax.
The chaise longue.
Sit into it. Live shows. You come into your absolute own. It's your element, isn't it? Especially when it comes to storytelling. We've had famous stories. We've had Jack Pigeon in Face in Boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had some biggies.
Some people remember that.
We've had Hand Cream Saga in Boots, wasn't it?
The greatest hits.
The greatest hits. Pigeon in Face.
But the good thing was, about a week ago, we were all sat down in Nando's, obviously, chatting away, thinking, what the hell are we going to do for this live show? And Jack went, don't worry, because I've got the story of all stories.
I did say that. I did say that.
Until tonight.
It's not. I've got two, actually. I've got two. Right. I don't know if you saw on the Insta today. I don't even know if you two saw. I put some on the Insta today.
I haven't seen.
You know, on the sofas Insta.
It's been a casualty, Anna.
On the sofas Insta. Yeah. Did anyone see it? I went to Boots.
You went to Boots?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
I went to Boots today.
Okay. What happened?
I had to go to Boots because I needed to get some salt spray for my hair.
Yeah.
Right? And...
We didn't ask. I love that, the context. I needed salt spray.
What did you do last time? You had to buy six bottles of moisturiser.
Moisturiser, I needed.
Because it was on offer.
It was on offer.
Are you still going through your six bottles?
I've moved on to a more expensive moisturiser.
Have you? Can't get it
from As you can tell.
So hold on.
So today, Boots, salt spray. Today I'm in Boots, salt spray. And I thought, I'll just go in. Why is that funny?
Because you've named it, because it's so fucking random.
Yeah, but...
You've gone, I'm going to Boots and I'm going to get some salt spray, because it sounds like someone's made that up.
No, well, I needed to get it.
What's it do, salt spray?
It keeps this shit up. That's what it does.
Salt spray is good. Yeah. It is a good product. You have to spray it and then you have to get the hairdryer through.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll this is boring. That up. Salt spray.
Anyway. I went into, but I had no shades, so I was going in dressed like me. Right, so
how awful.
So I panicked, and I wasn't sure I was
a bit
so
like just Batman not people having
in. When you're out and about, I love the way.
Can you hear the tins opening?
You can bring your own sort booze. Of judge the evening on the can opening. Yeah. Fuck. Not now. Now they're laughing. Now.
I'm waiting for the champagne cork to come onto the stage.
Hammered.
Right.
So.
I walk in and I've got my black puffer coat on. Yeah?
Okay. So Jack goes, when he goes to the shop or when we leave work or when we go anywhere, you wear your shades.
Yeah.
Even just if it's so dark outside. Knows.
Yeah.
You wear your shades. So you've forgotten your shades.
I actually kind of do need to wear them because I suffer with migraines. So I do really need to wear them because of lights. That's bullshit.
That's absolute bullshit. So you've gone in, no shades.
I've gone in no shades, I've left them at home. And I've got this black coat on. And as I went in, the security guard clocked me. And I always get this. I always get followed round places by the security guards, usually, because I've got the shades on. And they just think, you're going to fucking nick something. So, but this time I've not got them on. So he still thought that. That's what I thought.
Did you have your baggy pants on?
No, I had some different pants on, but I had my black puffer, I'm going to shove a load of shit in this fucking coat jacket on, right? I've got that on. I wonder why he thought you may nick something. And the security guard, and right over his...
Fuck, he's going near the salt spray. Right. Call back up.
Right over his walkie, I hear, yeah, he's coming in, he's got a big black coat on. Come over his walkie. And he went like that to stop it. And I turned around and I've gone, is that me? Like that to him. And he's gone. Like that.
It fucking is.
So I've gone, all right. So I've buggered off. And then it's been like a little game, like, you know when I'm down an alley, like down an aisle. And then he's sort of like coming, he's just stood and watched me, like what I'm picking up. And whenever I pick things up, I'd show him. I weren't putting them in. Salt spray, toothpaste, and some hair wax I got. And then I walked at the thing, and he just walked to the
till. Do you think you were robbing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he walked me to the till.
Had you been robbing in a shop before?
No, he's just, I just look dodgy.
Some people do.
That's it. So that's the Boots story. That's not the story.
That's the warm-up story.
Thanks to Boots for sponsoring tonight's live episode.
That's the warm-up. There's a little story is I went today and they thought I was shoplifting.
Very good. That's the headline.
Onto the main story.
I like it.
Onto the main story now. You two already know half of this story.
Aha. Car.
My car.
Your car.
My car recently, nobody knows this in the public.
Until now.
Until now. and then sell all the front
another
pages
can went,
tomorrow.
Another can went. Another can went. I fucking love it. It's the timing. Until now. It's like you're watching telly. Shh, shit, loud. Don't get the fucking sweets. You've blown it. Shh.
Right. My car, about 2-3 weeks ago, got vandalised, like really bad, right? Someone like battered it.
Oh,
like,
there was a sign.
I know there was
there.
A bit, yeah. They took like a brick to it, all the top of it, and I don't know why. It was when, I'll tell you when it was. It was when City were playing Madrid in the Champions League semi-final, I think it was. Quarter-final. And I went to go watch that game. I'm in Salford.
Pointing no fingers.
Bit dodgy, but it was rammed, and I had to park down this little dodgy alley anyway. And when I...
I had to park down this little dodgy alley.
Well, it was dodgy. It was dodgy. So I parked there because I wasn't going to miss the game, watched the game, went back to my car, drove home, didn't see anything, right? And then it was only about 3-4 days later. Now, I haven't seen this damage because it's only on the passenger side. Now, nobody's got in my car apart from me. And obviously, I'm getting in the driver's side. So I haven't seen the shit storm on the left. Yeah? I haven't seen it until about 4 days later. I went to go and wash my car. And Henry, can we have the slides? I'll show you the slides. Whoa. So you see the scratches at the thing. And then you see this massive fucking crater at the back. You see that? And then you got next slide. Henry.
It's like Chris Whitty in the Daily Brief.
A bit closer.
Next slide, please.
All there. Yeah, next slide.
It's like we've all gone to an insurance conference.
these are bad.
Can we see the next slide? Look at the damage.
Hang
if
on.
If you've been in an accident like this, please ring me, Jack P. Shepherd.
And there is the one more. There, look at that.
Ooh,
look at that.
Ooh, that's a big one.
That's a bigger than that. So I was like, I was confused by it.
You think it's a brick?
I thought, yeah, because I looked. I went back to the, and someone went, someone's done this. And I went, it was when I was in that fucking dodgy alley. It must have been, because they haven't gone for a window. They've only gone just to purposefully damage the car, like pissed off with the car.
What's
right?
the car done?
It's a
this
nice,
guy steals from boots.
This is what I mean. So I have to get somebody to fix it, and then I discovered
the fucking cans are going, and I think the cans are going for a different reason now.
Yeah.
I think everyone's like, fucking, this is a long story.
Someone sat there with 5 cans of car and all four.
I'm going to piss to take the pain away, because if this night isn't a great ending, I'm getting shit faced.
Right,
I've done 2 bottles of water.
Right. I found out who the culprit was.
Brilliant. Ooh. Can we have a... Ooh.
First off, I phoned the police and I registered it with him because I was going to have to...
Great thing.
I was going to have to go through, like, the insurance. No, he didn't. Some woman answered and I told her the reg of the car and she went, ooh, is that a black Ford Mustang? I went, yeah, it is. She went, it's my favourite car, that. I went, it wasn't you, were it? She went, no. I told her
she
where...
Got to, hold on, is that someone at the end of the police station?
Yeah.
Saying, oh, I like that car. I know where you live.
Yeah. So I told her where it happened. I said, oh, it happened
and
in Salford.
Oh, dodgy
and
alley.
She went, dodgy alley. She went, dodgy yeah. Alley. I know alley. The street.
I like her.
All the time.
I like her.
All the time, she said. Anyway.
Yeah.
I found out who the culprit was.
You found out who?
Yes.
Imagine if it was one of us.
Not so much... Hang on.
The reveal.
And you're going to tell us tonight.
Hang on. It's not so much who.
It's what.
It's what.
Oh, fucking hell. The story's picked up. No cans. No cans are going out. The story's picked up. We're all intrigued.
I'm intrigued.
This right. is what we came for.
What could it... Do we take a guess?
Yeah. Actually, take a
yes.
fucking guess. You won't get... I'm going to tell you now, it isn't a human... And it isn't...
It's got to be a bird or something then.
No,
it's...
Something's fallen from a building.
Yes.
Something's fallen from scaffolding.
Something has fallen.
Something's fallen from a building.
Someone's fallen from the building and it's fucking landed on my car. And it's crushed. It's done all that to my car.
So what? Hold on. I think the audience are with me on this one.
Are you saying someone?
No.
No. No, no.
And is that me? Did you hear that? Yeah, did we all hear that?
Yeah.
Thank all you. Right. I was like, am I? Someone's jumped out of the car. No. Landed here, and then they've said to me, someone landed on your car, but they moved them away, and I drove them. So it wasn't a person.
No.
Okay, that
no.
story took a turn. No cans.
No, no.
I can't take it. I'm already knackered.
So where I park my car, right? It's in somebody else's flats because I live in the city centre.
So it wasn't on the dodgy alley?
No. No. You can't get a car parking space for love nor money in Manchester, right?
I'm having
to rent a car parking space off somebody else's flats, right? So basically, where I park it, above, I'll show you the video. I've took a video. So look, here's the car. damage. Yeah? More damage. More big dent. And then a fucking drain pipe used to be there. And it's come down and it's smashed on my car. Right? Used to be like, look at the size of them. Look at them. And it was there in the middle and now it's not. And it landed there. Can you believe that?
That's fucking great. I never would have seen that. And at an insurance conference, that would be a winner. No one would say, when you went for the claim, did you say drain pipe? What did you hit? Person, car, another car, drain pipe.
Yeah.
No fault claim.
Yeah. I was blown
away. Whole drain pipe came away.
Yeah. Because it's only because as I drove off one time, I heard this like crack, and I thought, what's that? And I got out and I saw the thing. I started to put two and two together and realised it wasn't a dodgy alley in Salford. But that's a bit, you know. What's the word I'm looking for?
Reassuring?
Yes.
Yes.
That it wasn't
like the open Google.
Instead it was a drain pipe.
Instead it was a drain pipe.
I like it. Jackie P delivers once again with a live story. Yeah. Very impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, thank fuck that came good at the end.
Do you think it did?
It did. It came, okay. We saved it. It was good. I thought it was a person and then it was a drain pipe.
Yeah.
Ben, you need to be very careful here because you're bigging this up like
more
you're...
cans. As soon as it comes to my story, everyone's like, oh, we've had the insurance story. I'm getting absolutely wankered.
Insurance story.
The representative of Admiral taking notes going, but it did happen. Yeah. Now he can be paid out.
Yeah.
Ben, what have you been up to this week?
So traditionally, this is the section where in the podcast, before we record it, we all say, what have you been up to? Have you got any stories, lads? And I started strong on the podcast. Animal Encounters? Thank you.
Yeah.
Just a couple of ripples. and I had bats, I had badgers, had some really funny stories.
Tick on balls,
great. My son still talks about it. He doesn't. He's never talked about it. He listened to the episode. He has never talked about me exposing his tick on balls.
Imagine if he ever said, like when he gets older, he says, Dad, do you remember when you used me for your podcast and you told a really embarrassing story?
Of tick on balls. I go, tick on balls, son. And he go, yeah. And I go, well, it was worth it for the listeners. Anyway, I was high as a kite. I thought I'm doing brilliantly. We came to the Lowry. Colson's got a great story. Jack's got a great story. I had a story about my wife's outdoor.
You thought was really, really
I thought
good.
It was brilliant.
He thought it was brilliant.
I thought it was brilliant, and it was shit. And I said it, and everyone was silent. And I was dying inside, and everyone's like, oh, that story's fucking terrible. And then it went out, and then everyone listened to it, and it was really bad. So, yeah. Colson said to me, have you got a story? And I went, no, I've got nothing. I've got no stories. More cans opening. I've got no stories. And Colson went to me, don't worry, you'll have a story. You'll have one. I said, I don't think I will. And I haven't. But I do have something that made me smile. Now, who knows about my dog, Star? Right.
She's here tonight.
No, she was here tonight. She'd be out round those cans as quick as you can say. So little Star. So when Star goes out to little doggy daycare.
What?
She goes out, like, when...
Jack, your dogs eat bottled water.
They eat drink. They eat it. They don't drink water. They eat it. They eat it out the water. So they go. She goes to this, like, farm. They look after her if we can't look at her. Hold on, that's not unusual. What the fuck?
Hang on, if you're on holiday, not just for the day, not like nursery.
Yeah, but sometimes you have a dog walker, everyone's out, and you want her to have a nice time. You don't want her inside. She goes to a...
It's different in the south, isn't it?
We all have our things. You've got your car.
I put fucking telly on for them. That's what I do when I go out. I put telly on.
They're tiny. The fish.
Yeah.
No, smooth jazz in it now.
Yeah, smooth jazz. Yeah, but that's all I do. What do they do?
They play along.
A bum 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 bum.
My fucking star is not going to fucking have jazz on and be all right with fucking jazz. I'm going to come home and she's going to be like...
Okay.
She needs to be out anyway. All right. Anyway. She's a little Parsons Russell Terrier. She's about that size. She's not very big. And this photo, Henry, just... I was sent it and it amused me. It's not a great story, but I thought you might like it. Here we go. Show jumping.
She looks like an amputee.
What do you mean?
She looks like an amputee or something like that. You know what I mean? Like she's like...
Donate £2 a month to the
dog. It's mid-jump, isn't it? It's mid-jump.
It's mid-jump?
It's mid-jump.
I think she's been very good there.
The paws are tucked under, aren't they?
Yeah, to jump.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and then the next one is her having a look outside, and I thought, this is perfect to start.
She's doing it again? You're right, Jack.
Yeah.
She's like that. So that's it. That's my story.
That's it?
That's it. I told you it was going to be shit. When they listen to this, everyone go, that fucking story went well. Because I'll cut out the bit where you go, is that it? And it'll just go to the massive applause. No cans. No, I didn't want to.
Yeah. I think that's.
She's very dear to me.
He's gone for the easy win
gone for the easy win.
Head injury. Jack had a drain pipe attack his car and Ben's dog.
Yeah, but my little dog went show jumping, which I think is fucking incredible.
I had to take baby and lady to the vets yesterday.
For their teeth?
Their teeth taken out.
Done, happened.
Out. So lady, she had 14 taken out.
That's no teeth.
That's what I said.
So was it dentures?
It's like fucking nothing in. She's got virtually none left.
So what the
fuck? Does she bark in a weird accent?
Babies, I've not gone and pried them open yet because it was yesterday.
Hold on, they've got no teeth.
Baby had 6 taken out and lady had 14 taken out.
Did you put them under pillow for Tooth Fairy?
Yeah. Why did they have them taken out?
Because they were bad teeth.
Rotten.
And we brush them and everything. It's not like we don't. I think it's just a chihuahua hereditary thing. Or so we've been told.
I don't know whether it is.
I don't know.
Now they have got no teeth.
No, they do have a couple, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
I feel that was a bit of a low note.
Yeah,
I feel
show
we were really
jumping again.
I felt we hit a high with show jumping. We came back.
You mentioned dogs. But at the minute, they're just at home on the heated blanket.
Not at the doggy daycare. Not out show jumping.
No.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We're here to talk about films, which is how this podcast started off. And for every single show, we pick a film and we center the episode around it. And Jack, you had main say on why we're doing the film that we're doing today.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned, I mentioned this film. It's been suggested for us to cover before on the podcast, and for one reason or another, the supercomputer or the audience have never
generator.
It has been picked, I think, but I don't know if it's ever been in the semi-final, I think.
Yeah.
And it's a film that I really like, I know Ben really likes, and...
You haven't seen it, Chris.
I haven't seen it.
I think it's very relatable with all three of us, being on TV for quite a few years now, but also, in more so you really, with obviously what you've just been through in the Big Brother house. And that film, do you know what film I'm talking about? Yeah, Truman Show. Yeah, the film is The Truman Show. Mm.
So, you...
I love these moments of pause, cue cans.
So you picked this because of Big Brother?
I picked this, yes, because of Big Brother, yes. And what you had just been through.
And Ben, you've got some people who've got some questions to ask, haven't you, about Big Brother?
Yeah, fuck.
He's very good.
Hold on. Keep filling. Now, we've done the start. We've done the intro. We've done stories, video, Ben, image.
We've done everything we got past in the rehearsal now. Now it's open season.
Now it's going to shit. CBB questions.
Yeah.
That'll be it.
I don't know if they're here. So if you're here... shout out, and if you're not, keep quiet or open a can. Robin. That is fucking great. Whoever did that, that's fucking great. That has made my night. Well fucking done. Well fucking done. That is brilliant. You couldn't fucking write that, could you, in rehearsal? No, this is fine. I'll say an open a can and someone will. And they did. Robin, if you could have brought any Corrie character into the house, who would it have been?
Ooh, Corrie character.
Corrie character into the house.
Someone who's fun. You'd want someone fun who kind of can take lead and get stuff going.
You wouldn't have Nick in there, would you? It'd be boring. It'd be boring, he'd be telling you off, he'd be stressed. He's always stressed. He's got a lot going on at the moment. He would.
I reckon.
Richard Hillman.
Yeah. Kill everyone.
I reckon Dev or Steve Mack.
Steve
Mack would be good fun.
Dev good would be fun. Funny.
I'll go Steve McDonald, final answer.
Steve McDonald. Okay, next one is from Jamie. Fucking love it. No one's here, but we're opening cans. Can you tell us something that happened that didn't air on the show? That's good. That's good. We all want to know that.
Do you know? Have you sat back and watched it?
I haven't sat back and watched it. I haven't. But there is one thing that I'm pretty sure happened. And it was the first time there was ever a rule break, yeah? So when there was a rule break, you'd just be doing like your mundane stuff. Like I'd be washing up, people would be doing little bits, and then it'd come up and it'd be like, this is Big Brother. Can all housemates gather at the living room? So you'd all have to like run to the living room, sit on the sofas. We'd all be sat there and it was like, there's been a rule break. And everyone was like, fuck, because it never happened before.
If you rule break, does that mean you lose something?
Punished.
Item of clothing.
Your bottoms for the next 3 weeks.
And it was like
pants this... off, shoes on.
This must have been
socks on, shoes on, pants off.
To this millions must have of people. Been day two Because your mate was still there.
Who's my
Who's
mate?
Your mate?
Gary.
Oh, Gary.
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 Who can forget Uncle Gary? So this, in the bed with Coulson.
This must have been day two, yeah? So there's
day
a rule
two,
break.
We got closer.
Everyone's silent. No one knows who's done this rule break. And you all instantly go, fuck, it could be me. Yeah. What have I said here? And then it went, at 11 p.m. last night, Louis. And then it went silent and everyone was like, fuck, like clearly Louis and Sharon. Like,
oh,
we
right,
all,
yeah.
Like we all know that. And Sharon Osborne just stood up from the sofa like this and she went, smack my bottom, big brother. And then just sat back down. And then it went, and Lauren broke the rules.
All right.
And Sharon literally just was like, this. Oh. Put a scarf over her head and she was like, please don't put that on TV. Please don't put that on
and
TV.
And they didn't.
They never did. But it wouldn't have made any sense because she hadn't broke the rules. But she just obviously
she
guilty by
it
association.
Was gonna be.
And we all thought it would have been them two. But yeah.
Oh, that would have been funny if they showed that.
Would have been good. Would have been good.
Here we go. Next one. Lauren. What was the hardest moment or thing you had to deal with?
Hardest thing was the no contact from the outside world. Like, literally. So we were going to sleep at, like, 3 a.m. Yeah, sometimes later. And there was one night where, like, everyone was, like, exhausted. And we all tried to go to bed early. And we were like, if we go to bed early, they might turn the lights off before 2 a.m. So we all, like, laid in bed. And they called us one by one to the diary room.
What?
Yeah.
To do what?
To be interviewed. So you'd be, like, laying in bed. And we thought we might get an early night. Everyone in pyjamas ready, waiting for the lights to go off. And then he'd be like, could Bradley come to the diary room? And then he'd go and do his 15 minutes. And then they called us all one by one. And I was last to be called. And it was like 3:30. We went to bed. And then by the time you go to bed, you just sat thinking, what the hell has happened tonight? Like, what's Louis Walsh said that's going to get me into trouble? Like, what is going on the outside
And what
world?
Did they say in the diary room? Did they say anything? I mean, do they say anything before it's on air type thing? So they go,
no, so you,
I call you, all right, just a minute, we're just going to get these cameras in position or anything? Or?
Most of the time, you walk in and they'll say, hi, Coulson. And you'll say, hi, big brother.
What are you looking at?
You're looking, at, it's, it, to be fair, it's very similar to this. So obviously you can see
what
the
a
light.
Massive. It's very similar to this. It's a lot of people drinking.
Damn.
Imagine so you went to the diary room, it was like this. Fucking hell, fuck. Oh, God. Christ, it's a hard, it's 3:15, everyone's like, oh, God, 11.
You had two lights,
oh, right,
a camera, and then literally just an amp, like, and that was, the sound would come out of the amp, and you would just look at the camera, and you, when you were in the diary room, you had to look at the camera, and you were just basically, were talking to a microphone, and it was like, there was no foreplay, like, just straight in.
And did they ask you...
So, answers to questions you never asked.
He did ask.
Did they not ask you any questions? They just go, so, how are you? And then you have to...
How are you tonight?
Hold on,
be like,
hold on,
tired.
hold on. There was the moment where you cried.
There was a moment that I cried.
I think that's what we're dealing with.
It
wouldn't be right to bring up... To talk about Big Brother and not talk about the moment you got upset.
I don't know if that would have been... The hardest moment was the constant night laying in bed trying to get sleep. That was the hardest. That one night I was like, I just want to go home. Like, I can't be asked to spend another 2 weeks in the presence of Levi Roots. And then he got evicted. I was like, oh, that... So then when he went, I was like, oh, fine, like, get on with it. But that one night I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to.
When you went
doing
off
this.
And cried away from everyone else,
yeah.
Did you want that moment on your own?
I just knew that it was coming and I was like, oh, I just want this to happen. But you can't do all, like, I've gone in that bathroom and I just whipped my mic off and I was like, surely, like, they'll just think I'm in the toilet.
Having a shit.
forgetting that there's like a mic hanging out the ceiling. And then obviously I come out and then everyone's there waiting
oh,
for
so
me.
Oh, so it
and
wasn't
was like,
your mic when you cried?
Nah, it will have been on the hanging. Ah. And I literally just went because I was like, I just want to take myself out of the situation. I can't be arsed. And like, obviously, there'd been quite a
build up between me and Levi. Like there was,
because we.
I know. It,
I don't think we saw that.
Did anyone else see that?
Nah, I don't.
Because I didn't see anything until he just said the boring comment.
Yeah, there was a bit of a thing where, like, basically, he didn't really like talking. He liked talking about himself in a way. I'm cautious to what I'm going to say, but he wouldn't delve too much, and I don't think he was very interested in me. And I think the times he tried to get me were when it was like, who was going to take lead out of something, me and him? And obviously I was like, not one bit. So I think the fact I never rose was that. And then there was a thing cooking where he said my chicken was dry. And I was like, oh, here we fucking go, yeah.
How awful. How dare he?
I know.
Your chicken's dry.
Yeah, no, but it went on and on. And he got his comeuppance, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got his comeuppance. Sound like that was it. I think I'm going to nip to the end. Ava, who was your one favourite person in the house?
My one favourite person in the Big Brother house, I have to say, was probably Mr. David Potts, who was crowned champion. Because he was just normal. He was himself. And when David came in, he was this larger-than-life character. And I think everyone's heads went, what, like, who is this guy? What's going on? Not going to like this. And then
there was a lot of cans there. That was a whole ripple of cans.
The entire, like, nation just seemed to grow to warm to him because of, like, his honesty and his trueness. So, yeah, I would say David. I have kept in touch with him. And actually, he is part of tonight.
Oh.
Ooh!
The audience, he might come on.
Because when we talk about a film, we always need a synopsis. And I thought, if The Big Brother was very similar to The Truman Show, who could I get to talk to us about The Truman Show? So, this is who I got.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there. Hi, guys, I'm David Potts, Celebrity Big Brother winner, podcast host, and the new best friend of Coulson Smith. Sorry, Jack and Ben. So Coulson, Jack and Ben are dying to tell you all about The Truman Show. Now, I absolutely love The Truman Show, so I'm here to tell you a bit of a synopsis about what the fuck The Truman Show is all about. Basically, there's a young boy who was born into a reality TV show streamed 24/7. Imagine if that happened on Big Brother. You'd see what Coulson got up to. So like I said, guys, he was born into a reality TV show, but he starts to notice that things aren't all as it seems when lights and cameras come crashing down from the sky, which is obviously a set, and he knows something's not right here. He sees people walking in a pattern. So Truman wants to get out of there. So yeah, that's my little synopsis for you guys. I hope you all have a stunning night tonight, and remember, keep on slaying. Not like the cobbles here, is it, Coulson?
Very good. Very good.
There was so much going on.
Yeah.
First time I've seen that.
Why a hot tub?
Champagne.
I didn't watch it. I thought I'd just watch it through with you. But yeah, he's having a great time, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
That's the life of a winner. This is the life of third place. That's how it goes,
I think it's
isn't
pretty
it?
Good. I think we're doing pretty good. So, yeah, that was sweet of him.
You all, whenever we get someone to give a synopsis,
yeah,
you always give them feedback.
Yeah.
He had harsh cuts, didn't it, from his bedroom to the hot tub.
From his bed to a hot tub.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine.
It's a fine five.
It's a fine five. He didn't delve that deeply, but he's got a bit of Stardust magic, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So you give him an extra point. Five.
Did he give you the information that you think you needed about the film?
Not really.
No.
No, not really.
The audience aren't happy.
Really? I was too busy
Born into a reality show, and then there's things
that he seemed to resolve it quite quickly and go, and then he left.
I'll give him that. But yeah, so when we're talking about The Truman Show, obviously we're talking about someone's life that is being streamed on TV 24/7. Mm. And he's completely unaware, isn't he? That's the bit that makes it different, is everyone else knows what is going on in this world. They are all actors.
They watch it, don't they?
Yeah. other than Truman, who he is just living his life not knowing anything. And it is weird because for us three to watch, we're kind of, it's weird watching a film where it's allowed to look like a set and it's allowed to look like it's wrong and right at times, isn't it?
Well, it wasn't meant to be a set. So it was meant to be set in New York.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So originally...
Jack's facts.
Originally, it was written to be filmed in New York.
Yeah.
And everybody in New York was in on it that it was a reality show, which is fucking impossible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because how do you get... I mean, I don't know how many people live in New York, like 30 million, something like that, maybe even more.
So they were just threw that out.
But they were just... But they're all meant
Google.
To be in on the
I
show.
See, I see. Okay.
They're all pretending they're actors.
Yeah.
And he's the only one star, so he's not allowed out of New York.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The director, Peter Weir, thought, but that's a bit bollocks, because how many people come to New York, how many people leave New York?
Yeah.
At one point, he'd be able to, he'd find out.
Yeah.
It needs to be an enclosed set.
Okay.
So that's when it came up with the, what's it, Sea Haven, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Which that set is not a set. That's a real place in the world. Did you know that? You can go and live there in the Truman Show.
Oh, what, the houses?
The houses, that town, is a town.
Wow.
It's not a set. It's in Florida. Some billionaire had the land, 90 acres of land, that he inherited from his grandparents or something, and he wanted to build his own town. And he did, and he built those creepy fucking white picket fences houses.
Yeah.
Yeah, those in that Truman Show.
Yeah.
And Peter Weir went there on a recce because someone went, I think there's a town out in Florida that's a bit weird that might be what you're after.
Yeah.
He went, and he went, forget, we're not going anywhere else. This is literally the town. But the guy, the billionaire, he didn't want the production company in the... it's not called Sea Haven, Seaside or something it's called. Sea Town or something crap. Anyway, he didn't want them there, so he said no. And they were like, okay, let's come up with a deal. They came up with a deal and the production company got their way. Paramount, I think it was, the execs. And they filmed there for like two, three months or something.
The one thing the film does really quickly is it gives us, the audience, a sense that it is him trapped in a reality. And it does that with the iconic scene of the light falling through.
Yes,
I think we've got that.
All
well.
Right, okay, yeah.
You can tell it's a real town, actually, when you see it like that.
You know what Sirius is?
No.
The brightest star in the sky. So that's obviously meant to be.
I heard your mum acknowledge that fact.
Oh, did
then.
You?
I heard your mum be like, that's my boy. Yeah.
I knew he'd do. I knew he had more than him than that car. But we went to the Big Brother set, didn't we?
Well, I don't know about this.
Me and Jack went down to go and see Coulson the Big Brother set. And you always kind of imagine that these things are going to be really plush and good. And it was a really, really cardboard set.
Just a bit shit.
A bit shit. And at one point, I thought I could just push Jack through the wall.
Yeah.
And you were at the fridge having ice cream.
So flimsy, all of it.
The weird thing is, living in it, you couldn't sense that at all. Like, because I accessed it like you would access a house with that weird lift thing where the door was behind me and I thought the door was that way. Like, it instantly felt like I was in a house. And obviously, there was the camera traps. And you could tell, like, doors had been made in workshops. And you could see that bits of it were a set. But it honestly felt like a house. So then when I've seen the footage of yous behind in a camera trap and it's literally like being held up by stage weights.
Yeah, and felt.
I would have never have got that impression.
And the lad who was on security was on his phone playing Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Bored.
He was like, yeah, lad, just going.
I mean, he went in, he went, yeah.
But when Ben got asked for identification to get into the Big Brother house, what did you show him, Ben?
His hotel room key.
I lost my fucking pass. You meant to have this big pass, and I went, it's there, it's fine. We're not gonna jump in, are we? He let me in.
Yeah, he
flashing
did.
The holiday, innit?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The other
Speaking of holiday in, I opened one of them. I opened one of them other day in Blackpool. I am not lying. The amount of people turned up, but it was like Gandhi's funeral. Honestly. I turned up.
Forget the film. Forget.
To be fair, you are massive in Blackpool. You have Jack Shepherd
as a fucking watchword.
I think it's Corey in general is just big in Blackpool.
Well, if there's a place to be big.
Yeah, it's Blackpool.
So hold on. What do you mean you opened a Holiday Inn?
Holiday Inn.
Room 113.
The Holiday Inn. I mean, it's this
What's
huge...
What's brand new?
Brand new.
Cut
hotel.
And ribbon.
Ribbon.
Cheesy photos.
People on stilts.
What the fuck were they going to do?
People on stilts.
Were they all going to book rooms?
People there.
Oh, there's a charge
there were
on
people
rooms.
In offices over the road in buildings waving and going berserk and all.
It's the Holiday Inn. I can't believe he turned up.
Lads on cranes, like building other stuff and going, oh, David, we love you.
What's going on? David, he stays there.
That
Let's
was a bit
there.
Of my Truman Show experience for this week there. It was so bizarre.
What did they make you do?
And they did a cut a thing.
I've seen a photo of him, Ben, on Instagram pretending to answer the phone.
Oh, yeah,
with his name tag on.
No, but I did that for a laugh.
That is so cringe.
They said to me, they said to me, they went, Jack, can you go behind the desk and just pretend to do some reception stuff?
Your key?
And then, Ben, there's a photo of him in the bar working his way through the Holiday Inn cocktail menu.
It's because
someone with a pillow. Have you got a different pillow? Too hot. Too hot in your room. Too hot.
That lad that I'm with, he was the hotel manager. He's the Holiday Inn hotel manager, right? And he was stood at the thing and went, I'll just stand here and like, ask you something. And then as a gag, I've picked up the phone and I've gone, one moment. Like that.
Brilliant.
Which
he
is
didn't
the
pay
picture.
For that. He didn't
which,
pay
no.
for that.
And then when we sat down, they said, oh, Jack, we just need to get some stills of you looking relaxed and not doing... You know,
on
just,
a bed.
Just having a chat.
And open went, the mini bar.
Just sit with Mark and
showering.
Just talk.
Having a shit.
We'll text some pictures, and we'll just bring you some drinks. The drinks they brought him a strawberry daiquiri, and me a porn star fucking martini. So that's when I've got, it's like, Mark, we're on a date. And they're taking pictures, which is why I'm laughing in the pictures.
He did, yeah, it did look like that.
Because I was just taking the piss.
Anyway, we are here to talk about a film. We're here to talk about, you can see why we had to rebrand, can't you? Can't stay
good.
On a bloody film.
It's cringy. It's good, it's cringy. Do you get a free stay?
They did say, anytime
you're
you want
in Blackpool.
You're in Blackpool.
Anytime you're in Blackpool.
Anytime.
That's date night sorted, isn't it?
But that's it. Anytime
hey, you might
are
remember
there.
Me. No.
No.
I opened it up. No recollection.
I opened the thing.
You're not getting a room from us. Yeah. No fucking way.
One of the big wigs that were there from the Holiday Inn, he had a suit. He was like the only one in a suit there.
Which means he was a big wig.
Big wig.
He owns it.
He's high up in Holiday Inn world. He's quite high up. Yeah. He said, I've sent a picture of you opening this Holiday Inn to the CEO of Holiday Inn, right? Right, so the guy who owns all of Holiday Inns across the world.
And he said, who's that?
He said, every time I send him a message, no matter what it is on the message, he just sends me a yellow thumbs up emoji. That's it. I've sent him a picture of you, and he's just said, is that David Platoff, Corey? I've never had a text message off him. And he did. He showed me the message, and he scrolled, and it was just yellow thumb after yellow thumb. And then the one time he actually said words to this guy after 5 years of working to him, it was, is that David Platoff, Corey?
You can walk into any Holiday Inn and get a room.
Yeah.
Arizona.
Back to the
Who the fuck's that lad?
Back to the Truman
David
Show.
David Platt.
My favourite scene, because we all sat down and watched this together, didn't we?
Yeah.
It took us a while to get into it.
Do you know what? This isn't far away. When we watched it together, you were chaise long.
I took the right-hand side, didn't I?
Me and Jack like this.
But I don't have that, because it's a smaller footstool. I was like this.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything.
Sweet. And you, I think what people don't realise is you won't put the heating on.
No, it's always fucking freezing in his house.
And he goes, well, I've got it on a thermostat. And you won't put it up past 21.
But then you always go upstairs and it's really hot. So I think something's off balance somewhere. But it's the middle of summer.
Anyway, the film.
The film.
It's good. It's not fucking summer, is it? It's pissing it down. It's freezing.
My favourite scene in The Truman Show was where he sees his dad. And his dad is obviously an actor that's been sacked from the show, like written out of the show. And obviously, for us three, we've been in shows, we've been in environments, we've seen stuff like that happen. So when I saw that, it completely resonated with me. And that scene, I just love, and I think we have got it now.
It's like me turning up at Holiday Inn.
That's the CEO there on his WhatsApp chat.
Is that David
Yellow
Platt?
Yellow thumbs up.
Is that Platty? Is this Blackpool?
Poor Truman. So sweet and innocent.
It's the merch I love. They've all got merch in there, haven't they? He's the actual composer of that music.
Is he?
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
Amazing. Mm. Now that scene, yeah? I think as we were watching it was a moment where I went, actually, maybe Jack's got a point here. Because Jack basically said, watch it, because I think a lot of it will make you remember stuff that happened in Big Brother. And I was watching that scene and I was like, oh, shit, yeah. Something like this did happen, didn't it? Does this remind you of anything, lads?
Yes.
There she is, Jane Smith.
It is.
It's the same.
It's the same thing.
Look at them crying.
They're all got it. It's exactly the same.
Have you not seen your mum for 25 years?
Yeah.
Are they still growing? Oh, we've got subtitles. Yeah.
Didn't know what to say.
No, you don't.
You can't, yeah.
It's only been 2 weeks.
Oh, that was your nan's dead. It was that.
It's like 25 years, 2 weeks. You've been brilliant. I don't recognise your massive beard. 2 weeks? 2 fucking
Look at
weeks?
Louis crying his eyes out, Lulu. I've never seen that.
Is your mum in? Is your mum in?
She is here. Where's Jane Smith? Where are you? Can't see her. She's hiding away. She is.
Oh, she's there. She's there. Away. I love it. I love it. But it was 2 weeks.
Genuinely.
It was like, I have a little miss you.
It was identical. And the weirdest thing for me is, when I told my mum, I couldn't speak. Like, I was sat opposite her and I didn't know what to say because it felt so weird. It genuinely felt like it had been 13 years since I lost my mum in a shipwreck. That's how it felt. That is how it felt. But the best thing about this was, like, when I saw Jack and Ben and, like, when I came back speaking to them, Jack went, why were you asking if everything's all right? And I was like, because that's what you want to know. You want to know what's going on in the outside world. And Jack went, if I was your mum, I'd have gone, everything's good. I've left your dad. I'm much happier.
You would just for shits and giggles, wouldn't you? You'd say it just for a laugh.
We got a divorce.
I've never been happier. I'll never see you again. Bye. This is the farewell. How awkward.
Ben, when we talk about The Truman Show, you really like this film, don't you? You both have a proper soft spot with it before we went into watching it. And you spoke about kind of how Truman ends up being trapped in his own reality. And there's a scene where he goes sailing to escape. He's constantly trying to escape, isn't he? When he realises there's a world outside of his world, he wants out. And you really love this scene where he goes on the boat, don't you?
Well, he thinks he's in the world. He doesn't think it's a television thing, does he? He knows something's off and he's trying to get away.
His dad drowns, doesn't he? So that puts him off going into water. He goes on the boat and he decides to set sail. And Ed.
His brother.
sends the waves in to try and kill him, but everyone's watching, and it's this...
Fun fact, it wasn't Ed Harris.
What?
It was Dennis Hopper. And him and Peter Weir had an argument on the first few days of filming, and he walked off set.
Really?
Wow.
It was
recast.
Dennis Hopper. Yeah.
So he was the first...
And they had to recast. and they didn't have the Christoph character. So they filmed everything with Jim Carrey.
Oh, and then slotted that.
And then they had to go that at the end, and they had to try and get someone, anyone.
Anyone.
And then...
Where's that lad who opened Holiday Inn?
He's too busy.
Get him. Too busy. He's opening all of them. That's what you're fucking hoping for. You're fucking to open all of them, all then. Them. Fucking 150 later.
The CEO is still there going, is that David Platt from Corrie?
You're opening like hundreds a day. In different rooms like that.
Working your way through the cocktail menu. Now, I think we've got the clip that you two loved. I think we've got that to watch. So let's watch that and just tell us why you do like the clip so much. Okay.
Can. It's literally like being at the cinema. And everyone's eating it.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Mm.
You know when you walk out of Roy's Rolls and you've got the fake wall of the street? That's exactly what it's like, innit?
It's like the size of Roy's Rolls. So I think you cut it there, if you cut the clip.
Oh.
Well, we've seen enough. We've had your stories. They built up the first half. Everyone's trolleyed, man.
I like that, how it's shot from behind, that scene. How you'd have thought the director might have wanted and to also, come round and
look,
see.
It's pretty easy, isn't it? His reality gets punctured, but it fascinates me a bit about it is that he hits a wall to find his reality.
Mm.
So when he's tapping it, his reality is, he realises his world is fake by tapping a fake wall. And there's life beyond that. So that, for me, was the best bit of the film. And I actually think Jim Carrey in it is very, very good, because that's a real pivotal moment where that whole shock of what your life was, your manipulation of your life, comes true, and what he's not mad. Because all the way along, he's starting to work it out.
Yeah. Mm.
But everyone around him is almost convincing him he's mad when he sees people, when he opens the lift and there's people eating, isn't there, behind those things.
He sees the crew.
His reality. So that clip for me is a very clever piece of writing and really it was really the bit of the film where I thought, oh, that's really a really beautiful. And then you're at the end.
Yeah.
He finds his reality. We don't need to see whatever life he lives beyond that.
And before we give our ratings, we have got one final clip. And it is the end clip, which, Jack, you're a big fan of, aren't you? So let's watch that, and then we'll give our ratings.
Oh, the audio's off. It's all gone to shit. Yes.
Yes.
It's the goggle box as well,
isn't
it?
It is the goggle box before it's time. Someone got the washing machine on.
It's in here. I think it's the aircon trying its best. It's the dishwasher. Nice reference. Fucking good. I like that.
And that's it.
Perfect ending.
Yeah.
It's a good ending. It's a very good ending of a very good film.
I don't know why I'm doing that, but I felt I needed
film,
to.
The film,
Good film.
We rate every film after we've watched it and we've spoke about it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come to you for your ratings. I'm going to start with you, Jack, because we know that you love Jim Carrey.
Yeah, big Jim Carrey fan, and I mean, there's so much about this film that I do know that we haven't had time to fill in because it's only...
Because of your fucking car story.
Because of my shit stories.
Your fucking car story took up the first 25.
I know. I would have liked to have done... I mean, it's like three different podcasts, really, isn't it? There's the one all about the guff about the stories, and then there's the
it's all
film.
Right. We're only 4 minutes.
I know.
We're only 4 minutes over the first half.
Oh, are we?
Which is
That's not that
talking about the dog.
I mean, we've not even talked about Laurie Linney, who plays Meryl, his wife in it, who I think is this sort of brilliant, sort of like evil character, where she's obviously hired as this actress, but she has to sleep with Jim Carrey in the film, doesn't she? She has to be his wife.
Yeah.
And she said in interviews that she got given, in fact, all the actors got given massive backstories as to how they've come up to be in The Truman Show. And she's the highest paid in The Truman Show, and she gets a bumper salary every time she sleeps with Truman. Oh. Did you know that? Every single time she goes to bed with him, she gets an increase. She's also massive.
You know he makes these facts
up. No, this is true.
Good fact to make up, to be fair.
She's also earning so much money from all the product placements that she does. You see her with the Chef Pal and the Mococo drink, you know, all that
Holiday
she
Inn.
Does, right? She gets so much of all the product placement, and because she's earning so much. And I was thinking, why is she earning so much if she lives in the Truman Show? She can't spend it. But you notice that there's a scene in the where they were going to write her out. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And they were going to introduce a new love life for Truman.
Yes, yeah.
So she's earning as much money as she can.
Before she leaves.
Before she's done.
And she went to work, so I guess when she went to that fake work, she got that kind
she
of
was
life.
Going home. When
so what's
she
your
went to
number?
Work, she was going home.
I'm going to go 10.
Wow.
I don't think there's anything like it, really. I don't think there is.
Wow.
I don't think there's anything like it. I think all
he gets
the
excited
actors
when
are
it's
great.
Live. Ten. He gets all excited, he does.
Yeah. Fucking yeah.
10.
I think of that sort of genre, that alternate sort of reality.
Very good. We talked about that, but very good sneaking. Did you see just the little under there? Very good. I hope he's not...
Tom just doing a forward roll to get a close-up.
I got it.
Jack's
10.
Gone 10.
Yeah.
Ben?
I'm not going 10. I think 8.
8?
That's what?
Because you went 10. 8. Yeah. Good. Good concept. Did I on the rewatch just, that's the problem, I think, maybe part of it. When you do the rewatch and you kind of know the whole concept, it didn't hold it as much for me on the rewatch. Initially, when I saw it, great. Now, an 8.
10, 8. Me, first time I've watched it, which I do think, make a film like this, I think when you are unknown, it makes it more of an attractive prospect to watch. And I really did like it. But you kind of fall in love with Truman. That's why you like it.
Yeah.
And then the other elements that I loved was how when he would change his mind impulsively, how like the directors and the other actors would kind of act on that. So then you had a holiday travel agent set made.
Yeah.
And then you had someone quickly playing a travel agent who'd clearly just come in and she still had a script in her hand and it was still ready for makeup. It was stuff like that I loved because it kind of breaks that fourth wall of reality whilst making it at the same time.
Mm.
So I think I'm going to go 8.5.
It's better.
Better. Better.
Like you made the film.
Better.
That's 26, better.
26.5 out
I think
of
30. That's fair.
That's fair. What did everyone else think?
9, 7.
Put some 7s and 9s.
Used to be a 10.
Is it for the same reason I thought? On the rewatch, it's not maybe something.
When it came out, I think it was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you rewatch it, it's kind of.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel, thank you.
Yeah.
But is that.
That's
just,
my plan to the audience.
Hang on.
If it's going to shit, just speak up. Just help me out. Yeah. I've done the cans and I've done my
but
plan to the
audience.
But isn't
that a point that now you watch it and you're not shocked by it because that's kind of happening? Or kind of, do you know what I mean? Is that why maybe? You kind of go, yeah. But that's, yeah.
Yeah, good
but
point.
But they did it in, they filmed this in 1997.
Did you find, just...
So it's before
Don't worry, it's going to be the interval in a minute, but just one question. Did you find it a bit weird when you came up on that ramp and you've been in the house in a very small amount of people for only 3 weeks, did you find it a bit weird when you came out? Because it's a really weird reality.
Awful.
Right.
Awful. Like, the first month even of coming out, like, it feels like a different world. It's so bizarre. And then that first bit, like, you're on stage and you're coming out and you're being questioned and then you get a 30-second briefing before you go and sit on the Late and Live. And it's a whirlwind of everything that's happened. And after you kind of sit back, like, the night, I didn't sleep the first night out. Like, I was just laying in this hotel room wide awake. And I think it takes...
It's good, isn't it? It's like the gift that keeps on giving. We've sort of got ourselves into a little thing here. Holiday Inn.
I think it's taken some time to kind of come back to normal, but that is what that kind of world of TV is. And I do think The Truman Show shows that really well because, you know, he's desperate to leave, and when he leaves, he doesn't know what's next for him, does he?
Yeah.
Speaking of what's next, what is next for you? You now get your interval. You get a restock of the cans.
Shit, let's hope they come back. Who knows what messes we're going to have when we come back.
It's going to be the dash to the bogs, though.
I'll tell you what. Look, everyone, we've gone. We've got our first breaker. We're off. We're all off quick. Everyone's like, I'm not waiting.
We're
gonna
the lights are still 10, down. 15 minutes, but we have got some homework for you guys in the break. We need you to get involved in part two. So we need you to text in to our WhatsApp number. Jack, what is our WhatsApp number?
It's 07457-404-612 or +44. Well, you're all here, aren't you? Yeah, 612 exclamation mark.
Someone texted from Canada.
We'll leave this on and then you can think, you know.
Right, we're going to take a quick break. Text in your name, your seat, where you sat, what you love, hate and rate about the show so far. We'll see you in a couple of minutes. Goodbye.
So that's what we got up to on part one of our show in Manchester. Now part two, which is coming out on Monday, is the eagerly anticipated Coulson's Conundrum. We go around the world with Chad Chats. We find out where some of our audience had travelled from. We get live reviews from the show, from our audience who were there. And also, Jack pits me and Ben against each other in a game of Mr. and Mister. So don't miss all of that. That's part two, which is coming out on Monday. And then next week on Thursday, we'll be back to talk all things Little Shop of Horrors. Thank you for listening, and if you want to get involved in a live show, remember, we're in London on the 18th of May, and there are still tickets available. So come and see us live on stage.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.